From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It's here. A powerful, long-lasting atmospheric river is upon us. And with it, dumping rain, some snow, as well as bringing the risk of flooding and high winds across Northern California. But it looks like wet weather is here for the foreseeable forecast, possibly into Thanksgiving. Now, what's forecasted varies depending on if you're in the valley, the foothills, or Sierra. So to get a better timing and what to expect, we invited ABC 10 meteorologist Rob Karlmark to join us. Welcome, Rob. Oh, you're muted.
Hi there. You could tell I'm usually on TV, not necessarily on radio. So this is a very important thing for radio. You must hear me, not
yes,
see me.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's nice to hear you, Rob, and thank you for joining us because I know you were busy timing out and forecasting this atmospheric river. So the headline bomb cyclone has been thrown around. That sounds pretty ominous. What's the big picture with this storm?
So we really have to separate some of these very memorable weather terms to really focus in on how this all comes together. A bomb cyclone is essentially a very large area of low pressure, a storm, in other words. The terminology for bomb is referencing to how quickly the storm is intensifying. If it drops more than 24 millibars in 24 hours, we call that a bomb cyclone. Essentially, it's going from a decent storm to a very strong storm very quickly. And that's what happened yesterday. Now, as it came together, it's tapped into what we call an atmospheric river. This very deep plume of moisture from the subtropics. Another nickname for this one is a Pineapple Express. That's what I used growing up. And we can still use that because what this is going to do is it's going to bring a lot of moisture in a very narrow band to our area. These are the storms where you get a lot of rain over several days. These are the ones that we critically have to have in order to get a normal rainy season. So to get one of these early in the season is a good sign, even though there's some impacts and some things that will be not beneficial, roadway flooding, some things like that, as long as heavy snow and travel disruptions. This is where we get a lot of rain and snow all at once, and it really sets us up for a good season ahead.
Okay, so we're in this clearly for the long haul. What can we expect in the next 48 hours to round out the work week?
Now, this is a very tricky one, and I spent a lot of time talking to viewers to my channel, and of course, here on radio, this is very important distinction. This is a very fine line about who is going to get heavy rain and who is going to get essentially no rain at all. So for people in Stockton, Modesto, Tracy, the farther south you get from that very sharp line, you might get a few showers here or there in the beginning, in other words, in the next 24 hours, and then once you get to the I-80 corridor and off to the north, then it becomes much more wet. In fact, once you get to far northern California, it becomes not only wet, but there's a serious risk of flooding, flash flooding, roads getting closed, rock slides. It really just starts to magnify the impacts. And for earlier today and even yesterday for the Pacific Northwest, they had massive areas of power outages because they were much closer to the core of the storm, very strong winds, and many impacts with that. For us, we're at the very bottom of this, but we're still going to get some rain, just not as impactful as closer to where the storm is.
So it seems like there's a pretty large range that people can experience. You have some people on the one hand that may get a break wondering what's everyone talking about, and then you have other people perhaps in the foothills, higher elevations, or in the valley, of course, that are at risk of flooding. And of course, those high winds. The National Weather Service is forecasting some gusts up to 50 miles per hour. We know that in combination with trees can be really dangerous and deadly. What areas are you concerned about?
Right now, I would be more focused on the higher elevations. The good news for the lower elevations is that the ground is just becoming saturated. So if you remember back to that New Year's Eve and New Year's Day storm where we lost literally thousands and thousands of trees, that was after a very prolonged period of heavy soaking rain. And then when the winds finally showed up and they were extremely strong, much stronger than what we're going to deal with here, the ground was just too saturated. And I talked to an arborist about this. I said, were there more certain species of trees that were more affected? He said, with that event, it was essentially all trees were at risk. Now, we're not moving into anything like that, but I would watch the storm in the subsequent days because remember, this is day number one. We still have this thing firing back up on Friday through the weekend, and we even have more chances going into the days leading up to Thanksgiving. So it's the later days when the ground is already saturated, soaked, and soft that I would watch for periods of stronger winds as the storms come together, the new storms. That's usually when we are at risk for trees coming down, power outages. So that's in the days ahead. Remember, this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
I want to point out one other thing. in the mountains, this is a very tricky one. And I spent a lot of time talking about this. And if you're just hearing about this, this is an important point. This is an upside down storm. And what I mean by that is that as we move into the evening, usually we get colder and the snow level will start to come down the hill. This is the exact opposite. This storm is so big and so large, it's pulling in so much warm air that the snow level and the temperatures, even in the valley, are actually going to go up in the middle of the night. And we're going to be watching that snow level climb above the mountain passes in the middle of the night and during the day tomorrow. Now, this is tricky because this will lull a lot of people for pre-Thanksgiving travel into the mountains because, hey, it's not snowing. I don't need chains. It's just rain. We can handle that. Then you're there. You're having a good time. The second part of the storm comes in. The snow levels will tank, absolutely bringing snow to Truckee, South Lake Tahoe, and spots even lower. It's not about getting there, Vicky. Sometimes it's about getting back.
Yeah. So I was going to bring up snow because it didn't seem like snow was the big headline for at least this first storm that's making its way through. But what I'm learning from you is that to prepare for snow when that next system comes through, especially during the weekend, because as you mentioned, it's the weekend before Thanksgiving. People are going to be driving up. They want to be prepared to get back down the mountain, you know, when they're done celebrating. I want to hone in a little bit more on flooding because the National Weather Service was forecasting upwards of 10 inches across Northern California. You helped us really visualize how massive this storm is across the Pacific Northwest. What areas should be concerned about the risk of flooding or even flash flooding?
Okay, I'll break this down into sort of a scale. For far Northern California, so along the coast, we're talking Shasta County, essentially all the counties in far, far Northern California, Redding and areas off to the north, that's where you're going to have your widespread area flooding risk. Your creeks, your streams, the Eel River is forecasted to have moderate flooding in some of those spots. So that's a more of a scale thing. But locally, as we get farther south from really the core of this, you're going to get creek and stream flooding. Arcade Creek, Deer Creek, some of the more famous, well-known creeks will have rapid rises in the coming days. And that's where I would watch for some local creek and stream flooding. Now, that doesn't mean if you live in a suburb, you're not immune to flooding. What very often happens is that this is leaf season. And as we know in Sacramento, we've got the famous claw. My kids can't wait for the claw. It's their favorite time of the year. But what areas have not really seen the claw yet, those leaves will start to get carried down to the storm drains that are local. They get clogged. And in neighborhoods that don't really have widespread area flooding, you're going to have local street flooding almost always caused by a clogged drain. This is a solvable problem. As long as it's safe and you know where your drain is, you can be the solution to the problem in your neighborhood and clear the drain well before the city crews can get in there, as long as it's safe. That's really the key. Now, as far as the rivers, anytime you have days and days of this, you have to think about the rivers. I've looked at the Sacramento River specifically, which is not in danger of flooding. It will be running high. And over the coming days, it's going to go from about 7 feet to 14 feet. In other words, it's going to rise 7 feet from now until Sunday. And remember, the river forecast only goes to Sunday. I expect it to keep rising into the week after.
Any of these amounts and numbers, could they be potentially record setting or breaking?
I would say north of our area, we're definitely looking at daily records getting broken, but we've seen this type of rain before. Like I mentioned right off the top, these atmospheric rivers are actually fairly common and needed for our area to really hit our numbers for averages or getting above average. One key important point about this is that this is the moment when our reservoirs, our beloved lakes, Trinity, Shasta, Orville, the big three that you need to be near full by the end of the season to not have to worry about drought conditions. This is the moment when they stop losing water and they start flattening out and then they start to come up through the rest of the season.
What does Thanksgiving look like? I know that that's far out, but it's on a lot of people's minds. You know, we are a week out, but what does the forecast tell you today?
Well, my job is to always tell you the truth, Vicky. And yesterday I said, we're all good to go for Thanksgiving travel. No issues. Once we're done with this storm, it's smooth sailing. This morning, I changed everything and had to include rain chances just because we're getting another pulse of a storm coming together and then actually moving through our area. Not just the moisture, the actual core of the storm should be moving through our area in the days leading up to Thanksgiving. So at this point, of course, it's going to change. I am looking at rain Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday just ahead of Thanksgiving. And at this point, it does look like it's Thanksgiving as well.
Mm. Finally, what does this mean for resorts? Opening by Thanksgiving is usually a good sign.
Absolutely. And many resorts have moved up their opening day. We've got Heavenly that's going to be open up today. It's a slow opening. It's just a few lifts and a few runs, but it certainly will get people excited about the rest of the season. We've got more opening up on Friday. The bottom line is this. It will be challenged in the very beginning because we will be getting rain. But by the end of this, we're looking at several feet of snow over the weekend. And if that storm comes together next week, even more feet of snow. If you add everything up, best case scenario, some of these resorts, I believe, will be open from top to bottom by the time we get to Thanksgiving. That is always a good sign. It gets people very excited. And of course, it's going to be very busy.
Yeah. Rob, as always, thank you.
Thank you.
Rob Karlmark is a meteorologist with ABC 10. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about the atmospheric river making its way through our area. I now want to bring in Chad Hecht, who's a meteorologist at the Center for Western Weather and Water Extremes. Welcome, Chad.
Thanks for having me.
Well,
good to be here.
Let's start off with your organization. What is the Center for Western Weather and Water Extremes? What are you all about?
Yeah, so it's a research institution at Scripps Institution of Oceanography on UC San Diego's campus. And we really focus at the center on our bread and butter being atmospheric rivers, just because they're so important to the hydroclimate across California. We research the predictability of them, understanding the science around them, and then how we can use some of this cutting edge science and forecasting to improve the water supply across the Western United States.
So this week must be an exciting week for you and your colleagues.
Always, yeah. It's really kicking off the season with a good one here in November.
What stands out to you about this system?
I think Rob touched on it really well. I think one of the main takeaways from this is that it's such a long duration event. To have such a strong onshore flow in the core of this atmospheric river for such a long period of time is what's leading to some of the impacts we're seeing in the forecast from both the National Weather Service and Rob.
You mentioned how significant atmospheric rivers are to maintaining our water supply. Is there a gold standard or a number that you're looking for the winter season to boost and to really make sure that our water supply is healthy? How many atmospheric rivers we would need in a given season?
So that's a really good question. And, you know, the composition of a water year can, you know, come from many different numbers of atmospheric rivers. Too few and we end up in that drought condition and not your reservoir's not at a level as you'd like them to be, but too many or too many strong ones is when you start to see some of the hydrologic impacts produced by them. We can get, say, near normal with a lot of weaker storms that, you know, we stepwise up through the winter, you know, nice and easy. Or a couple of years ago, we had essentially two active stretches of numerous strong storms that led to almost all of it at once. So in terms of overall numbers, sometimes it's not the quantity, sometimes it's the quality. But over the 6 month stretch of the wet season, you can see really any number of outcomes that lead to either a dry or wet winter and therefore a good or a bad water supply season.
I mean, I know that California has historically we have these really dramatic pendulum swings when it comes to weather. Has it become more challenging in recent years, say the last 5 or 10 years, of forecasting and really getting a good gauge of the type of weather we need for our water supply, you know, a really robust atmospheric river that we're experiencing, or maybe more scattered showers that still, you know, more quantity, less quality? I mean, has it become more challenging or evolved in the years just with these changes in weather and climate?
That's a great question again. And over the past like 5 to 10 years, California has really seen the prime example of the extremes that we see, going from these extreme dries to extreme wets, a lack of the strong or greater magnitude storms like we're seeing here, or a lot more of them. We've gone on the heels of the driest 3-year period on record to water year 2023, which encompassed that, again, the strong storm around New Year's Eve, where it was a record-breaking snowfall in the Southern Sierra. We continue to see such extremes, and we have seen through research that in a warming climate, that extreme volatility in terms of year-to-year variability in California could become even more so.
Finally, does this storm or this atmospheric river definitively mark the end of wildfire season for us?
Typically, yes. When you see such a extreme rainfall across Northern California, that's really what marks an end to a wildfire season. The later we go into the winter without one of these storms is really you almost extend your wildfire season and can see a lot more activity. So this is really looking to alleviate some of the fire risk across the state.
Chad, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Chad Hecht is a meteorologist at the Center for Western Weather and Water Extremes, discussing the atmospheric river making its way through our area. Up next, a proposal to rename the Sutter Buttes to the Sacred Buttes is sparking a debate over preserving history and recognizing the abuse John Sutter committed against Native Californians. We'll hear perspectives both for and against the name change. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.